Business 650 presents Ciders, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD show, and the ever-changing world of refreshed beverages and cocktails in a can. We'll discuss the brands. We'll meet the people behind the innovative ready-to-drink beverages hitting the market. We'll talk trends and the future of the industry. It's the fastest-growing segment of the spirits industry today. This is Ciders, Sodas, and Cocktails on Sportsnet 650. And here are your hosts, Joe Leary and Legacy Liquor Store brand ambassador, Daryl M.
Welcome to the Ciders, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD show, broadcasting on Sportsnet 650, also available 96.9 FM HD3. And we're broadcasting from AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint, 325 East Broadway, across from the Kingsgate Mall, serving authentic New York-style pizza straight out of Brooklyn. You can check them out online, ajsbrooklynpizzajoint.com. Joe Leary, along with Daryl Lamb, who is the brand ambassador and goodwill ambassador and Legacy Liquor Store. You brought company today.
I did. I got a great team at the store, and I'd like to share them with our listeners.
So let's introduce Maddie. Maddie is the marketing or the events and promotions coordinator for Legacy Liquor Store.
Yes.
I guess there's not a lot of events and promotions going on right
there's
now.
There's not. We did some virtual events. Yeah. But yeah, right now my main focus has been marketing and promotions.
This is your first time in the booze world?
It is.
Are you liking it?
Yeah, love it.
You're seeing seismic shifts in what people were drinking even when we started this show to what they're doing now.
Oh, that's absolutely crazy, right? Yeah. I mean, we're at there, like our peak when he comes back. Maddie's responsible for between 9 and 12 different sit-down events every month.
Yeah.
Like, there's always something going on. And we'll get back there eventually.
We will.
We'll get back there. But in the meantime, it's been great trying to do these virtual tastings and different things. But watching the way the customers have completely changed their habits overnight, we were expecting it. We've been built for the store. We expanded our coolers. We got ready for RTD. It's just like this whole pandemic has fast-forwarded everything 5 years.
Yeah, and it's also helped erase some memory for me, because I couldn't even tell you how long we've been doing the RTD show. But I will say one thing, is that in all the time we've done it, we actually have a product on the show today that we've waited a long time to get on the show.
It's very true.
Yeah.
It's very true. So we've been talking about this for months now. And of course, you can't talk about the canned cocktail, the RTD world, without talking about the absolute biggest brand, I would argue, in the world at this point, White Claw. And one of the things, Joe, that everybody's talking about is you just can't find it. You go to your local store, it's not there. It's a really tough thing to find. So I squirreled some away, Joe.
Yeah,
today you finally get to try some White Claw.
So let me ask you about this, because this is not a new product. It's a new product to this market, but it's not a new product. I tried this. I heard about this actually in Hawaii last year, and it was readily available. Was there a reason? Was there such a demand on White Claw that you just couldn't keep it in stock?
Well, that's ultimately what's happened. I mean, it's they're trying local production options. They've got to get there. It's still currently produced in the United States, and the main issue is they do have a production facility here in Canada, but because of the border closures, they can't actually bring the team up here to train anyone how to make the secret recipe,
right,
the secret sauce that makes White Claw so much bigger than every other brand in this category. I mean, you're trying it right now, and it's a nice, clean mouthfeel. Everything about it is great.
And I presume, Maddie, you're sampling one as well.
Yes, I am.
Now, it's kind of interesting to me because, these people, though new to this market, people might be surprised to learn that they're kind of like the industry giant. They're kind of, I mean, you would know better than
They were number one overnight.
Number one overnight.
And then,
as soon as they came to the store, there was a massive hype. We were getting multiple calls at the store, like making sure that it was in stock or that we had it. And
do you remember when you put the first White Claw poster up in the store?
Yeah, we had to put up an additional sign saying not available until blank.
Right.
Yeah, it was like White Claw coming soon. And immediately everyone was like, we need White Claw. Yeah. Where is it now?
Well, tell you what, I'll give it to their marketing people to be able to get that kind of advanced excitement. That's huge.
But really, it was all kind of like word of mouth. It was just, had one White Claw was the big YouTube video. And then
back then, people could travel to the States. A lot of people had it. And then once it was announced that it was coming to Canada, they just spread that throughout all of their friends. We're just like, you have to try this when it comes in.
Now, since you handle all of our accounts online, Maddie, you're our Instagram person, our Facebook person, our different social media, Twitter and stuff. Do you see more chatter about RTDs, or do you see mostly beers dominating? What's the category that really dominates online chatter?
Right now, I think the main would be spirits, but I do see that with RTD, everyone is extremely excited when a new flavor is announced. Or a new something soda is announced.
Yeah.
It develops a lot of comments and likes and shares. And yeah, a big one would be Nude. And they came out with their ad with their new watermelon one and their little
and now
2 second
into tequila.
Video.
They're into
yeah.
And the thing is crazy is like, so it took forever to get White Claw.
Yeah.
We've got... So you don't get all the flavors at the same time because
no.
they just can't keep up.
Right.
If you buy a mixer pack, you get the flavors that are in Canada. But there are flavors that aren't here.
Yeah.
And already people are like...
Really?
Excited about
when
that.
Does White
yeah.
Claw, when does White Claw Raspberry come? When does White Claw Watermelon come? I'm like, I can barely keep the lime in stock, all right? I barely have any mango.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... Well, it's really hard.
It's funny you should mention that because I was in Legacy... I want to say it was one day last week. And it almost looked like I was in a warehouse because you literally had flats and flats and flats of this stuff just stacked up, still wrapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
It literally probably just got dropped off on a pallet driver, right?
Yeah, so what ends up happening, how it's so controlled and so in demand, you get what they can give you for the entire month at one time. That's all you get. They're like, here's as much White Claw as you can have,
yeah.
and we'll see you again in August.
Yeah.
And as soon as those kind of things happen, we start to see things on social media like, Legacy's got the natural lime back. Ah, let's go and run. And it's been crazy to see how many people have been doing it. I mean, like, how important is it for you, Maddie, when you're talking about, when you're interacting with people?
It's all good.
Is new really what drives it all? It's all like, what's the next new flavor?
A new and chatter. And I do know that a lot of people, when something new is launched, they do enjoy the mixer packs because then they can find their flavor,
sure.
their favorite flavor, and then start buying that six pack or those tall cans and enjoy those more often.
And smart. The
yeah.
the White Claw mixer has been number one at Legacy every month that it's been in stock.
Yeah.
And everybody's still trying to discover their brand simply because it's so new to all of us.
And I know that there has been some chatter about when are we going to get the other two flavors in tall cans.
It's true.
Because we only have two right now,
yeah,
the mango and the black cherry, because those are the most popular.
It's almost like you want to be like,
well,
of course, White Claw is owned by a Canadian. You want to be
yeah,
this guy because he's got this unbelievable product. But there's also these pains of like, I can barely get it to you. And now like,
yeah.
I want this, try this,
yeah.
do this. It's tough.
And maybe one of these days we'll get that guy on the show because I think it's a real, truly success, Canadian success story that kind of needs to be told. But how you've got this product that literally is sweeping the industry and there's so much hype about it. And we were probably the last to get it, probably market-wise. I would say we were.
Well, they've just launched in, I believe, Ireland. They launched in Australia last month, and apparently it was like there was near riots.
Really?
To get their hands on White Claw in Australia.
Didn't you tell me this one were like campouts? There's people that will sleep
in Ontario.
In Ontario.
There were people that were sleeping outside the LCBO for 3 days before
really?
Launch.
Three.
Wow.
To get their hands
wow.
on White Claw. So
yeah.
basically, like. Yeah, Legacy, we get a big amount. We haven't really felt the like White Claw kind of rationing. But if you're not able to make it to downtown and you see White Claw at your local store, you're probably going to want to snap up a bunch because you're not going to see it there the next day. It's just absolutely amazing.
And the other thing that we should talk about, Daryl, is because of the packaging, we've always say this on the show. I mean, we've had a lot of great products come through our hour-long broadcast here over the course of doing the RTD show on Sportsnet 650. But you tend to see sometimes a lot of like almost copycat, but I want to say like cookie cutter kind of packaging ideas. Some really stand out more than the others. Some are taller than the others. Some are more sleek than the others. And I think the Claw really has that going for them too, because they're a very distinctive looking can that immediately that's a White Claw.
That's a White Claw. And the thing I'm 5 days old when I figured out that a White Claw is actually a type of super wave that surfers look for. It's the White Claw with the white on top. And I had no idea. I was like, wow, I didn't even get the surfer motif. Yeah. Well, a good friend of mine is a surfer, and he's like, we finally got White Claw. It's the surfer beverage. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it turns out it is.
That would explain the preponderance of seeing this in Hawaii last year.
Right?
I can tell you that.
Yeah, so it's got a whole surf motif to it. It just works. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I've never seen anything in my entire 15, 20 year career, anything that came out with this much hype and then actually delivered and then maintained the enthusiasm.
So I would say this is now widely available.
Oh no, that's the problem. It's like they can't produce it fast enough. There's 5 million British Columbians. Everybody wants White Claw. And they're not even able to produce 5 million cans of White Claw just for BC. They gotta fill the U.S., Canada. That's why they're really looking for a local production facility to be able to make it close by, because right now it still has to get trucked up. And it's tough. I mean, I was out in Harrison Hot Springs, and I walked into a liquor store, and I was like, I can't believe you guys don't have any White Claw. And the manager, she was like, if they would sell me some, I would have it. But they literally, it's not available, and it would be available everywhere if they had enough.
So is that a problem that will rectify itself anytime soon? Like, for example, if you're listening right now in Kelowna or Kamloops or Penticton or Prince George, is this sort of more exclusively to the lower mainland area?
No, they're being, like, I'm trying to be nice and play nice in the sandbox and all that stuff, and I want more and more and more and more. But, I mean, the latest shipments and stuff went to the Kamloops distribution so that they could actually make sure that the Okanagan and the North got some. So they're trying to be magnanimous about it, not just have this kind of be a Vancouver phenomenon. This is a Canada-wide phenomenon. It's just, it's absolutely crazy everywhere.
Well, let me ask Maddie, being a younger female, I mean, I presume there are these RTDs, not necessarily just White Claw, but I mean any of the ones that we talk about on our show. Are these big in your circles?
They're honestly the biggest.
Yeah.
Like, I just attended a bachelorette, and we were fully stocked with RTDs.
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, of course, Prosecco and other things. But, like, yeah, that was heavily what we bought and is bought for the wedding next weekend.
Yeah.
Like, every girls' weekend or cabin weekend, like, you can't find a cooler that doesn't have multiple six-packs of this.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, Daryl, from your perspective, and it pains me to say this, because in my other life I host beer radio shows, but has beer kind of been nudged out by the canned cocktail
market? Beer's trying something new, and that's where you're getting the phenomenon of these new kind of lifestyle diet beers that we're seeing out. We created the world's first lifestyle beer fridge at Legacy, and it's doing quite well. So, you know, people like that flavor. I'm a beer drinker. I like to mix both. Kind of thing. I think it was about time beer evolved, because, you know, you and I, we've been big fans of craft beer, and we've been there right from the start from craft brewery. I mean, you've been on the beer radio show for more than a decade now, it seems like.
It is coming up on 10 years.
10 years. And Legacy's coming up in 10 years. And I'll never forget being in a meeting with one of the big sales managers from one of the big two. And I was a 28-year-old kid. And this was a lady that had been working with my bosses for 30 years. And she turned to them and she said, if you listen to this kid, he's going to bankrupt you in 6 months. No one wants this weird crap. And of course, craft beer exploded. Everybody, you know, it's always nice to be kind of proven right. And then ultimately, but beer's in need of something new. Craft beer is now firmly established. We all love craft beer. What's the next thing? You know, maybe lifestyle beer is the next thing. We're definitely seeing an uptick in it. And I really believe RTDs, because of course a White Claw is only 100 calories. Right? And so I think they've got to do something to compete, because back with some of those big flavors, I mean, I remember there was a Scotch ale that when a UBC tested it had more calories than a Big Mac. And so I think it's just a matter of, okay, let's deal with today's lifestyle.
Well, speaking of today, on today's show, we're going to talk to Alex Yip Choi, who is the brand ambassador of Squish Hard Seltzer. Now, this is a brand new entry into the marketplace, or relatively, I mean...
Just about a month and a half?
About a month and a half.
Eastman proud?
And it's, I remember saying to people, like, for example, let's say I found an investor, and I decided today I wanted to open up a brewery. Have I missed the peak? Have I gotten in too late? The answer is no, if you have the right location. You've got the right brewer, you got the right imaging and marketing, like what Maddie does. you can still make it. You better be pretty damn good at what you're doing. I would say the same thing with RTDs, because there's no shortage of these things. If you walk into Legacy or any liquor store, you're inundated with the amount of product out there, a lot of which is repetitive too, but the good ones find a way to survive.
And that's, I think, the right way. And I mean, Maddie can jump in here. I think the marketing is incredibly important. I think it has to pop for that first drink. But then, like, to your point, it comes down to the brewer. It comes down to
quality
yep. right? That yep. first, you can have a funky label, but if your product is equally funky, they're not going to buy it again.
Yeah.
Right? It's a different thing. Like, how do you choose your product, Maddie, when you're looking at it? Is it mostly packaging? Is it what you're looking for, flavor-wise?
That's the initial. I know there's a huge market for, everyone loves the tall, slim cans.
Yep.
But... given the work that we're in, I'm able to sample a lot of things, so I wouldn't say recently that a lot of my purchasing choices have been on the packaging, but I can definitely see the appeal of some of the other distinct can branding, where at least you have the photos of the fruit or something on the outside to sort of stick out and be like, oh yeah, I really like limes, and then you just look for the limes.
Yeah. True.
So getting back to White Claw specifically, Daryl, obviously the U.S. would be the big market.
It's their home market, yeah.
Canada must be coming pretty close behind.
Well, it's the spiritual home of White Claw, right? Because, of course, White Claw was founded and owned by a Canadian.
Right.
So, I think our market is definitely something that was keeping them.
And in the RTD world, are we kind of in a unique situation here in North America, or are these things blowing up through Europe and beyond?
You know what? It was actually, we're behind in this game.
Really?
And the main reason, I always looked at, like, the spiritual home to the RTD is Australia. So in Australia, RTDs dominate. Like, they're bigger sales than beer, like crazy. Same in Japan. Same in New Zealand. So, like, kind of that oceanic, Asia Pacific, they were already ahead of it. I think one of the reasons Canada was so far behind was simply because our big markets, Toronto, Montreal, they're still dominated by those old, creaky, terrible government systems. And so they don't want anything new. You know, it's like, everything works fine. I don't know why we want anything new. And that's why, like, us little petulant Western Canadians who just won't be good colonists, and our private stores allowed for all of these cool new products to arrive. And so BC's where it's happened. We've kicked in the door, and now Ontario and Quebec, they have to catch up to us. And I think a lot of it has to do with those Australians coming into Whistler and places like that. The fact that we have, Japanese, New Zealand, a lot of immigration from those places here, they wanted those flavors. So we're the cutting edge for Canada, but we're way behind the rest of the world.
Well, the RTD show, Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails on Sportsnet 650, the cutting edge for radio. And by the way, we do have a new product on the show also today. In addition to Squish, we're going to talk coconut water in a can.
Coconut water in a can. You know, the RTD, there's something for everybody.
There certainly is. And we're broadcasting from AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint, 325 East Broadway, right across from the Kingsgate Mall.
You're listening to Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD show on Sportsnet 650. Here again are your hosts, Joe Leary, and Legacy Liquor Store brand ambassador, Daryl Lamb.
And we welcome you back to the RTD show on Sportsnet 650, shining the spotlight on the ready-to-drink and refreshed beverage market, the hottest category in the world of spirits. We're broadcasting from AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint. Whether it's the classic margarita, pepperoni, or the spicy Vesuvio, AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint has got it and so much more. You'll find them at 325 East Broadway, right across from the Kingsgate Mall. Daryl, we're about to dive into the spicy Vesuvio, which is kind of our thing here at AJ's.
It's totally our thing. Right? We love that pizza. It's every time we have the spicy Vesuvio.
And what goes better with pizza than beverage? And we welcome Alex Yip Choi to the program. She's the brand ambassador of Squish Hard Seltzer. Welcome to the show. What is Squish Hard Seltzer?
Hi, thanks for having me. So basically we have their hard seltzer, so vodka, seltzer water, natural flavoring, and a couple grams of sugar in a 473 ml tall can.
Now, in terms of the definition, Daryl, I will turn to you, because how does one distinguish? When does something become a seltzer? When is it a soda? We're on the RTD show, so there's a lot of leeway here.
Yeah, it's a lot of leeway. I think it's just, again, it's these kind of regional differences. I'm an Eastern kid, so I say pop. I'm surprised how many people out here say soda kind of thing. So essentially, soda and seltzer are the same thing. It's just where you were from. Seltzer is more of an American term, starting to come up here, of course, with White Claw and Squish and different things like that as a point of differentiation. But these are really nice. They're different in the fact that they actually are based on vodka. So it doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's not a spirit-based beverage. And mostly it's about great, delicious flavor. And just that little touch of sugar actually rounds them out, and they're quite nice. I like them.
Okay, so Alex, this, I'm assuming, is a local production. What are the origins of this date back to? Has this been in the works for a while? Is this relatively new to the market?
Yeah, this is brand new to the market. So we just launched our 8-pack tall can mixer to the market about 2 weeks ago. It features 4 flavors: mango, cherry lime, pineapple, and passion fruit. The single tall can format we launched just about a month ago, so brand new to the market, just in time for, you know, the summer and the sun coming out now finally.
Right. So were you involved at all in any of the tasting seminars before you sort of zeroed in on the flavor choices? Because I would think that would be a fun job.
I wish that I was. This time around, I unfortunately wasn't. This was quite, you know, quite new to me. Everything came up quite fast too, because, you know, with COVID and production, we weren't sure that we would be able to get it going in time. So it was a little bit fly by the seat of our pants. But yeah, we got it, and everything's tasting really good.
So Daryl Land, let me ask you then, because you obviously like to see local products, and you're a big champion of local products, and you're obviously running a great liquor store in Legacy in Olympic Village. But you've always mentioned to me before that it kind of gets to be a bit of a space problem, because you can't take absolutely everybody's product. So what's your criteria for determining what you take on?
Well, I mean, the local's always a great thing, but ultimately it comes down to quality. And I was actually in Europe when these kind of came across our desk, and my RTD manager's a lady by the name of Donna, and she sent me an email and said, we got to get these in. I said, well, you better try and find 4 spaces for a new kind of hard seltzer. And she's like, wait till you try them. They're fantastic. So, you know, I always like to encourage my supervisors to take risks. And man, did she hit this out of the park. All these flavors are great. I've got this passion fruit in my glass right now. About 4 years ago, we went to Vietnam, and there was a passion fruit tree on my front yard. And I am sitting in Hoi An right now with this glass. It's fantastic.
Now, Alex, you mentioned that, you know, the COVID changed everybody's lives immeasurably. And I remember thinking at first that probably wouldn't be a good time to try and launch a new product. But now I completely disagree with my own thinking, because I think there was so much experimentation with beverages during the COVID lockdown that people started to branch out and expand their taste horizons.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, people are, you know, they're staying home a lot now. Obviously, with restaurants opening, they're getting out a little bit more. But I think people are still looking to be able to pick up some great options at the liquor store. And when anything new launches, you know, they want to try it. So we've just been trying to get it everywhere we can. Obviously, you can find it at Legacy. Mentioned that.
All four flavors,
yep. And the 8-pack, yeah. And private retailers all around the city.
Is that the new sort of packaging way to go, is to sort of bump up from the traditional, say, 4-pack tall boys, or going to a 6-pack, now the 8-pack? Is that kind of gradually increasing?
It is. I think I actually like the 8-pack mixer format ultimately, because one of my things that always problematic with mixer packs is there's always the one you're not really a big fan of. And so you have there. For me, it's like I'm the exception to the rule, because I know it's the most popular fruit in the world, but I'm not a mango guy. I just don't like mangoes. You know, but there's mangoes in here. So at least, you know, they're there. I also think it's more the fact that these are tall boys. So these are a proper pint, right? So I think 8's just great. It's perfect. 2-3 friends together. You can social distance. It's not a group over 6. And boom, everybody gets 2.
We might have to change the terminology from tall boys. Something tells me that terminology isn't going to fly.
Red Racer actually refers to them as tall girls.
Tall girls.
On their things, because
so,
it's Betty.
So from your perspective, Alex, again, this is kind of, it's a very distinctive look. Did you hear much about how you got with the name Squish? Was there a story that goes with that? Or it just kind of a cool word?
I think everyone just kind of liked the word. And, you know, anytime you're launching a new brand, it's a challenge trying to find a one word that hasn't been taken, or, you know, it's appealing to everyone. But I think it ties into the, you know, the natural flavoring that we use. It's so like the real fruit. And I guess we were kind of imagining you take a ripe mango, mm-hmm. and you squish it, mm-hmm. and you've got like all the aroma and juice from that aroma. So
now you mentioned about launching a new product, and obviously because of the era that we are experiencing right now, you can't just do impromptu pop-up tastings here, there, and everywhere. So how do you then get the word out for a brand new product like this?
obviously, like, sharing with friends and family, you know,
working radio shows.
Radio shows, exactly. I mean, we've just been hitting the ground running, just trying to get it everywhere we possibly can. And I think, as we've mentioned before, the locality of this product is huge for people right now. They see that it's made in East Van. They want to support local. So just, yeah, we've been running with that. And friends and family always help.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Daryl, from your perspective, again, because it always comes down to, I mean, the packaging is great, and there's a variety of packaging out there for different products in this category. But always at the end of the day, it comes down to what's in the packaging, not the exterior.
The packaging always sells the first one, and I'm always interested in why they buy the second one. Because if they start buying the second one, you're going to see something good. And we've seen it with all four flavors. Everybody's starting to find their favorite flavors. Right now, passion fruit seems to be the big winner, but that's pretty unique. I can't, off the top of my head, think of another kind of passion fruit beverage. Maybe Pure has one, but other than that, it's not really something common that you see. Everybody's got, like, kind of a lime, everyone's got a lemon, everybody's got a maybe an orange flavor or something along those lines. So I think people are looking for the different kinds of things. And to have pineapple and passion fruit and mango in the same thing, it's a very tropical kind of feel. And finally, the weather is getting to that place where we all want to be tropical.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even when it's raining, at least when I drink this passion fruit, I can pretend I'm in Vietnam and it's 35 degrees again.
Our guest is Alex Yip Choi, the brand ambassador of Squish Hard Seltzer. I think of the Seinfeld episode
seltzer.
Here. Hard Seltzer.
Seltzer.
A brand new product to the market. So again, initial reaction, what kind of feedback are you getting? And are you happy with the results so far?
Yeah, no, we're actually so excited because, you know, launching a brand is always hard, during a pandemic even harder, but the response from everyone has been great. I think we fit in with that trend. You know, we're not fully no sugar. We've got a couple grams to round out the flavor, and people are down with that right now. So yeah, we're excited. We're ready for the summer weather. And
I think it's actually something that's really interesting. It is something new this year. So we've seen kind of the new big launches come in, White Claw, Squish. They do have a little touch of sugar. Now, we're not talking about, say, like Coca-Cola levels of sugar, where you're talking about hundreds of grams in a can. What you're actually talking about is 2 grams. And just that little round out of flavor, it's almost like adding just a little bit of bacon to your spaghetti sauce, and it just makes it that much better. You know, like, everybody loves a little touch of bacon. And to me, just the little touch of sugar, 2 grams, we're talking about nothing. But it really cuts the acidity. We were talking about it earlier with Maddie about the fact that it's almost like your heartburn isn't nearly the same level. It's not like just that straight soda stream. Dentists hate soda streams and soda water in general. So just having something a little bit to cut that acid really makes a big difference.
So you seem very happy with the product. We are enjoying the heck out of this product. Can you see this line expanding? Could we maybe expect more flavors down the road? Or is that just a little too premature to say?
It's tough to say right now. I think we're definitely looking to expand when it comes to formats. You might see 6-packs on the market in the next year, that slim 355 ml can that people are really liking. And I mean, sky's the limit with flavoring too. We've seen every flavor under the sun in our competitors' cans.
Considering how these products have exploded, certainly at least on the West Coast here, maybe a day will come when there will be a Squish Hard Seltzer tap in a place like AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint, huh?
Yeah, we could peg it too, absolutely. Yeah. Like, sky's the limit.
What do you think, Daryl?
I'm waiting for it. I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet. Yeah. Our friends at Hey Y'all, we've been talking about it for years. Like, why aren't you on draft?
Yeah.
Right? Because it's cheaper, it's easier, like, it's better for the environment, that sort of things. I mean, these are already carbonated. They could just come right out of the tap. And I really think the day is coming where you're going to start seeing as many RTD taps as you see beer taps, simply because more and more people, especially younger people, essentially, like, no one under 27 these days seems to be drinking beer. They're all really moving into, like, RTDs because there's something for everybody. There's Squish Hard Seltzer. You've got, like, Mother's Moscow Mules. You've got all these unbelievable different flavors. So there's something for everybody in the category.
And they're also clear beverages, so it doesn't feel as if you're putting badness into you as opposed to beer.
It's so pure and clean, right? It's just nice and clear. It's like I'm drinking water. It's basically I'm having water. It's great.
It's brand new to the marketplace. It's called Squish Hard Seltzer. The 8-pack is available. You have other formats that you'll be experimenting with. And you're available widely so far?
Yep, private liquor stores, obviously Legacy, as I mentioned before, in single format and 8-pack, and then other private retailers in the city, plus government stores.
Well, congratulations. Best of luck to you. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Cheers. That's Alex Yip Choi, the brand ambassador of Squish Hard Seltzer. This is the RTD show on Sportsnet 650 AM, also at 96.9 FM HD3.
It's Vancouver's hottest selling segment in the world of spirits today. Cider, sodas, and cocktails. And you've got it exclusively on Sportsnet 650. Once again, your hosts, Joe Leary and Legacy Liquor Store spirits educator, Daryl Lamb.
And we welcome you back to the RTD show, Ready to Drink, also known as Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, on Sportsnet 650 AM, also at 96.9 FM HD3, broadcasting from AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint, 325 East Broadway, across from the East, or the, across from the Kingsgate Mall, serving authentic New York-style pizza straight out of Brooklyn. And you can also pop in and catch games, because, yeah, there's actually a game going on right now. Our Toronto Blue Jays are actually playing an inter-squad game. This is actually live right now as we record this show.
That's real?
That is real. Yes, that is today. That is right now happening at Rogers Center. Catch a game. Enjoy their great selection of local craft beer, wine, and distilled spirits. And RTDs, AJ's, 325 East Broadway, across from Kingsgate Mall. Joe Leary, along with Daryl Lamb, the brand ambassador for Legacy Liquor Store. Also our friend Maddie, who is the events and promotions coordinator for Legacy. Nice to see you again. And a friend of the show, Mr. Paul Morozik, who is the VP of a brand new beverage company, Daryl Lamb. We're taking the wraps off this baby.
Even more, I think this is like a brand new beverage.
Well, let's first of all welcome Paul to the show, Mod Beverage Company. Paul, congrats on a brand new company.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a lot of work in the background, but we look forward to bringing some great and innovative cutting-edge beverages, taking bold risks. So
now I know you are, and before we talk about some of those risks and what you're packaging, I just want to ask you, is because I know we've talked, you know, I spent time in Ontario. Daryl, you're from Ontario, Paul. Is this a good province? Is it an easy province to kind of build a new beverage company in?
It's a good province because you're not limited by a single liquor boards and things like that, depending on the types of beverages you're launching. So you do get a real world look at what the market's like. You can go out and you're competing against multiple other parties that are either experienced or inexperienced, and so it's a true test as to, you know, you can make products that can convince people to bring them in the West. You know, you can probably convince some liquor boards in the East, so it's a good province to start in.
So we were talking during our Spicy Vesuvio lunch break previously, Daryl, and Ontario doesn't sound like a fun place to play the spirits or the booze game right now.
Well, it's hard. You got two, like, kind of monoclass. So either you have to ask a government bureaucrat if you can do business, or you have to go and ask your biggest competitor if they would be so kind as to stock you in their store. Out here in Western Canada, you got so many more options. You know, there's 687 private stores, you got rural agency stores, and there's no gate. In Ontario, there's a gate. If the LCBO doesn't want you, you're not coming in. In BC, Paul gets to produce his beautiful products over here on Terminal Ave. Walk him over to Legacy and say, hey, I've got the world's first fermented coconut water. Do you want to try it?
So,
and it's delicious.
I will say, from my days in Ontario, it is a place to stand and a place to grow, but just not if you're in the booze business. Is that fair?
It's true.
Okay. All right. Now, let's get back to you, Paul. Mod Beverage, and how new is this beverage company?
Literally starting kicking off today, taking the cover off the car today. So it's off to the races. We've got some brands that we'll be launching, and we're excited to get going and start bringing great products out.
So when Daryl first mentioned that we were going to have you on the show, we were going to talk about your coconut water and your pineapple water, I thought, well, okay, it is called Ready to Drink, so anything that comes in a can such as this, we could easily have it on the show. I thought this was just water with a little bit of a coconut edge to it or a little bit of pineapple edge, but this is actually boozy water.
Yeah, exactly. This is actually 100% coconut water fermented to make an alcoholic beverage. So it's one of the first of its kind. It's not a vodka coconut water. It's not a vodka soda with coconut flavoring. It's a fermented coconut water beverage. So you get all the advantages of what coconut water brings to people, but in an alcoholic beverage.
So let's just do a little mini focus group here. Maddie, what's your thought?
It's way better than what I was expecting.
Okay.
I've had coconut water before, and it sort of has this lingering taste, but with this, it's such easy drinking that, like, you don't... It's not filling, but you still have the coconut flavor, and then why not have some booze with it?
For me, I was, to be honest, like, you know... Paul and I go way back. He's got a really good like ear for these things. I'm not a coconut water guy. I'm not really a coconut guy. I was kind of expecting a can of Bounty bars. Instead, what I got is like this great, refreshing flavor, a little hint of coconut, like actually eating coconut that hasn't been toasted in corn syrup and then covered in chocolate. It's delicious. Like this.
I'm trying the pineapple water, so you're launching two flavors simultaneously. Yeah. What was the backstory here? Like, is there... What made you decide to do this? Because we're not noticing a lot of this on the shelves right now.
Yeah, well, for us, the biggest thing was looking at the trends in the industry. So consumers are moving towards healthier beverages, things that are lower alcohol, lighter, easier to drink, and people are sometimes moving away from alcohol, especially in the world with cannabis and things like that starting to take off. And so we want to, you know, put something into the alcohol category that first of all offers some benefits to people that are looking to have a healthier choice when they are still consuming alcohol. And we also noticed that a lot of our competitors, it was all about what's not in it. Zero calories, no flavor, nothing but just water and vodka. And we decided, why not have a beverage that, that tastes great, that's super refreshing. That's an alcoholic beverage, but also delivers you the benefits, and actually has benefits to it, as opposed to just having, you know, as close to nothing as possible. And that's what we've been able to do with fermenting coconut water. So still has contains potassium, other vitamins and minerals as well, and still delivers that in a very refreshing, easy-to-drink manner.
There it is. It's all inside. You got the nutrition facts, which is actually not legally required of beverages in Canada. Like, but... Yeah, it's nice. I like the fact that I'm getting calcium.
Yeah.
I'm having a little calcium in my fermented coconut water. It's delicious.
So it comes under the brand name of Mighty. Now, again, we've talked on this show repeatedly. These decisions aren't made, you know, spontaneously. Generally, before you come up with a name for a product line, you kind of have to pour over, you throw a bunch of good ideas after bad ones, and then sort of whittle them down. So what was the reasoning behind the name Mighty?
Well, just really it's the fact that it actually has... some might to it, right? Strength is about building. It's about doing things that are positive for yourself. So we utilize this to simplify what it is as an alcohol beverage, right? It's not about being clear and having nothing and being, you know, very void of any kind of nutrients or nutritional value. So with this, we've been able to ferment this coconut water and deliver it, you know, with 4.5% alcohol, and you're actually getting strength from this water. You're getting things that are actually benefit you, not just removing things that are not good for you.
He is Paul Mrozek, the VP of Mod Beverage, modbeverage.com, brand new company. Daryl, I'm going to throw the next question to you, because again, you're the person that decides, you know, what's going to make it on the shelves, what's going to sink or swim. What's your thought here?
I like it. I'm definitely going to be bringing these into the store. I think we've just created a kind of a lifestyle section at the store, and I think this is going to fit absolutely perfect in there. I think it drinks more like a beer, to be honest, than it drinks like a lighter vodka. It's got body. It's got richness to it. I quite like this a lot. I think to Maddie's point earlier, we've had some coconut infused products. Mm-hmm. That end up, to me, tasting very confectionery and not really that interesting. This I think I like. I like this a lot.
Now, Paul, you mentioned there was 4% alcohol.
4.5.
Four and a half. Okay. And generally, most RTDs that we deal with are in the 5-ish range.
Yeah, you know, but really, when we're talking about like 0.5%, it ain't a big deal.
Okay. So is this something that, you know, as we're totally noticing the trends change and the regulations kind of get eased, is this something that could find its way into supermarkets in the foreseeable future here?
Absolutely. Hoping to be able to use the same type of technology to deliver the same flavor and the same benefits in alcohols that come from different sources so that they can be sold in supermarkets and other other channels. We also are going to be launching a non-alcoholic version of this as well, because the coconut water itself has come out tasting so great. With our flavoring and with the way that we've been able to achieve what we're trying to go for. And I'd put this up against any coconut water, alcoholic or non-alcoholic. So definitely you'll see quite a bit of Mighty around the market.
Who would you say would be your target consumer for something like this? Like who's generally, who are the bigger consumers of things like coconut waters right now?
I'd say it's, again, people that are definitely looking for that healthier lifestyle, right? And I use healthier because, you know, if you're drinking alcohol, that's, you know, definitely not something that's a health decision. But people still want to consume, and they want to, you know, choose the course, the sort of the path of the least resistance, kind of. So with this, you're able to, you know, still get some types of benefit from it. You know, similar to the way that somebody would drink a Caesar, right? It's viewed as having a bunch of, you know, nutritional value, but it also has alcohol in there as well for people that are consuming. So,
okay, so now let's sort of jette towards the Mod Beverage Company, which a brand new company, modbeverage.com. What's your plan? What's your vision? What do you see coming down the in the foreseeable future?
Well, certainly quite a lot of brands. So, you know, one of the biggest, I guess, cornerstones of the business is to have a very solid consumer insights, I guess, eye for consumer insights, as well as have the right people working on consumer insights. Because, you know, there could be things that I think are cool or that you think are cool, but if the general public is not interested in that category or not interested in that type of beverage, you definitely won't see it coming from Mod Beverage. So, you know, you can expect definitely a lot of cutting edge brands and a lot of new things, like doing, you know, fermented coconut water and other brands and beverages that kind of push the limits and kind of try to move the needle forward on what we can do with beverage.
So you guys from Legacy, both Maddie and Daryl, so, you know, when people come in, say they're shopping around, they don't necessarily know what they want to zero in on, but they kind of give you a little bit of a, well, I'm kind of looking for this or kind of looking for that. Does that, any of that feedback, do you give that back to some of your suppliers and say, hey, you know what? We've had a lot of people ask for this, or like people reaching out on social media, say, asking for that. Does that feedback ever go to the manufacturers out there?
Yeah, well, what I generally do is with the marketing and the social media, I will go back to the supervisors or the managers who do bring those products in to the store to let them know that this is something that is consistently being asked on social media. So it does go down the line. Now, if they decide to bring it in, that's up to them, but I inform.
And Daryl, from your perspective, like, let's say it happens to be a three coconut water day pitch, or three different pitches come in the same day. Does it come down to vision? Does it come down to packaging? Does it come down to, or ultimately, what does it taste like?
Well, for me, taste is obviously important, but there's also credibility. One of the things that has always been part of kind of my culture that was infused in the legacy from our owners. Remember, our owners are British Columbian, right? Local wins. You know, all things being equal, local wins. So for us, it's about how do you positively affect our local community, both here in Vancouver, ultimately in British Columbia, perhaps even Canada. So really, it's about, if everything comes down being equal and you got cool labeling and your product is solid and things like that, I'm gonna tell you right now, if your one company is from you know, what, 600 meters from our store, like Mod Beverages is, and somebody who is 6,000 miles away on the other side of the ocean, tie goes local.
Yeah.
And so I love the fact that these kind of innovative products are being developed by Mod on Vernon Avenue, right? It's the Vernon, so they're like, you can walk over and check it out. They're right there, right? So this isn't something that's being shipped halfway around the world on big tankers. Your carbon footprint's far lower. Those are things that are really important to us.
So, Paul, let me ask, in this COVID environment we live in, how do you launch a new product and how do you get some hype and how do you get some excitement, other than great shows like the RTD show on Sportsnet 650? But, exactly. You know, how do you, because you can't just do spontaneous tastings and all of that. I think it's a pretty good time because I think people are more curious now, because we found that during the lockdown period, we reached out and wanted to try a wider variety, and fortunately liquor stores were considered essential services.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's just a bit of a different market, I guess, really. And like you said, you can't do things like tastings and in-store tastings. So you just have to find different ways to impact people. So we do know that people are online a lot, but everyone kind of knows that, and there's a lot of noise there. So you'll see, actually, from Mod, some pretty creative, I guess, tasting programs and pretty creative ways to get people to see us, to notice us, and to ultimately try us from a liquor store like Legacy that carries our products. So you just have to kind of think differently and you know, try to drive towards the same thing. So,
well, I'm curious to see what comes forth, Daryl, because I know that Paul is going to join us on our next RTD show. in the month of August. And I think he's got some pretty exciting ideas. I'm curious what he's going to roll.
There's always something crazy coming out of Paul and his team.
Every week.
This spring, it's just nuts, man. Yeah. So I love it. I think they're doing some great stuff. You know, you got Parade already killing it in the store. And now you're going to have Mighty killing it in the store. And it just, I mean, it's that East fan kind of mentality. Like this, you know, us versus the world entrepreneurial spirit. And so, you know, going out and developing, as far as I know, the first naturally fermented coconut water.
Yeah.
You know,
good.
I mean, that's crazy. That's really
that's good.
Good.
Yeah, good quality.
Yeah. And it's, again, very distinct name, very unique little look to it. It's called Mighty, and it's called the Mod Beverage Company, modbeverage.com. Paul Morozik, the VP. Congrats, man. Congrats on unveiling the new product on our show. And we look forward to August because we can only imagine what you have in store.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on. I always have a great time and can't wait to show you what's up the sleeve.
You got it. It is the RTD Show, Sportsnet 650, spotlighting the ready-to-drink and refresh beverage market, broadcasting from AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint at 325 East Broadway across from the Kingsgate Mall.
You're listening to Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD Show on Sportsnet 650. Here again are your hosts, Joe Leary, and Legacy Liquor Store brand ambassador, Daryl M.
Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, it is the RTD Show on Sportsnet 650 AM, also at 96.9 FM. HD3, broadcasting from AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint, 325 East Broadway, right across from the Kingsgate Mall, serving authentic New York-style pizza straight out of Brooklyn. You can pop in for food, catch a game, enjoy a great selection of local craft beer, wine, and distilled spirits, and RTDs. AJ, more than fun, it's family. 325 East Broadway, across from the Kingsgate Mall. Joe Leary, along with Daryl Lamb from Legacy Liquor Store. Let's say hello to Jess Price. Jess is the operations manager of AJ's. Nice to see you. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. The sun's finally shining. It feels like Vancouver or summer, which is nice.
I know. And not only is the sun shining, but businesses are starting to get some degree of normal. I mean, fingers crossed that we don't blow it, but, you know. I was concerned initially when the lockdown hit because I thought, you know, what about favorite places like AJ's Brooklyn Pizza? How did you guys fare?
Well, at the beginning, it was, you know, it was a little frightening, obviously. I think we took maybe 1 or 2 days where we closed. We didn't really know what the future was going to hold for everyone. When it was made apparent that takeout was kind of two thumbs up, I guess it kind of gave us a little bit of comfort knowing that pizza takes out, you know. I think foods like pizza, sushi, fried chicken, and the like, you know, people kind of naturally go to those products anyways for takeout food. So, you know, I think looking back, all things considered, it wasn't as big of an impact on us as maybe some more traditional sort of sit-down restaurants. But yeah, it was certainly an adjustment for sure. I mean, our whole sort of business model here shifted, so just to kind of like pivot all of a sudden to like we're only doing takeout and we're doing a million more pizzas as opposed to offsetting things with alcohol and, you know, people coming in to drink, it was definitely an adjustment for us. So
it's worked out okay. And you noticed the same thing at your operation.
Oh, we were slammed. But one of the things that you just said that really made sense to me was like pizza takes out.
Yeah,
I think we've all discovered there's a certain amount of foods out there that do not take out. Like, you get excited, you go on something because, like, DoorDash, skip the dishes, you're like, oh, I'm going to get that delivery. It doesn't deliver well. By the time it gets there, it's soggy, cold. That kind of pizza always delivers, especially when you're doing really top-notch New York-style pizza. Mm-hmm. It delivers extremely well.
Well, the other thing I know is that, so I took advantage of a lot of local businesses because, we, you know, we all needed to eat. We all needed to be, you know, refreshed. But I didn't use a lot of the delivery apps because I know that it does place a burden on places like AJ's and the like. So I did my takeout to go. And I think that it's important that people understand that you know, these services don't work for free.
No, definitely. I mean, DoorDash and Skip the Dishes and Uber Eats, they are a business unto themselves.
Yes.
So they need to make money.
Yes.
I think it really opened up a conversation, though, certainly amongst our community here and abroad, that like, hey, if you really want to support these mom-and-pop businesses wholeheartedly, like, give them a call. Go there and pick up. And I noticed definitely a lot of people calling in being like, what's best for you? Should I call over the phone? Should I do it through DoorDash? I'm starting to hear rumors that DoorDash like takes a cut of your business. Like, So it was news to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So it was great that it did kind of like start this conversation amongst people of like, oh, okay, I should just be going direct to the source and not using that middleman, which obviously for us is the best way.
Yeah. And again, the thing is that, I mean, everybody, I'm not knocking them in the sense that they do provide a service and good on them for being business oriented. But when you're talking about smaller operations, the margins aren't that high in the restaurant business to begin with. We all know that. So if you can pick up as opposed to get delivered, please, please do so. Now let's talk a little AJ's business because we've been looking at these pizzas. I mean, you do everything, you make everything your own here. Like you cook sausage and then you chop it all up.
Yeah, I mean, everything is as fresh can be. I mean, I've been in the restaurant industry a long time. I've never personally worked in a restaurant that doesn't have a freezer. I mean, and it kind of took me like a couple of months for that light bulb to go off. Like, oh yeah, we don't even have a freezer. And for the average person, what that means is that nothing obviously is frozen. Everything's made fresh.
Yeah.
We're super prep heavy. Like everything is done, you know, day of or day before, which means that the freshness, the quality, the overall product is just that much better.
Now, I must ask, because not that I've tried it, but you've commented on it, Daryl. I mean, you're known as, it's AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint, but you've got a Detroit pizza on here. And the Detroit pizza is quite remarkably different than the Brooklyn-style pizza. What is the Detroit pizza?
So the Detroit pizza is this crazy, like, I almost call it a lasagna pizza because it looks sort of like a lasagna. It's a rectangle size pizza. Its roots date back to Detroit from like the 1940s, I believe, and a gentleman who worked for the Ford manufacturing company, and he had accrued all of these grease pans, and his wife was like, what the hell are you doing with these? Like, why are you holding on to all these pans? And he's like, I'm gonna make pizza. And so that's where the story starts. So what they do is they sort of par bake these crusts in these deep dish pans. So they par bake the crust, which means that they bake it before it is made to order. So when you call to get it ordered, it goes back into the baking pan with like a ton and ton of cheese that goes around the top, around the sides. No sauce, like it's just cheese and crust and whatever toppings. When it comes out of the oven, we take it out of the baking dish and this crazy cheese crown that we call it. I don't know if that's standard verbiage across the industry, but the cheese crown is seen along the outside edges. So you have this like really crispy outside. When you bite into it, it's almost like a focaccia-y, like very spongy inside. The sauce goes on top. That's kind of the red top that we, you know, the Detroit red top is where it gets its name. And it's like the craziest pizza experience that you'll ever eat.
It's ballsy to go for like such a marginal style of pizza. I mean, growing up in Southern Ontario, and we used to do a lot of road trips down in Detroit, like it's not even really that well known in Detroit. Like, you gotta be a pretty big pizza nerd to be in. And then when AJ said, hey man, I'm doing Detroit style pizza, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, who's doing that? I mean, and don't get the wrong idea here. It's not the terrible monstrosity that comes from Chicago.
No.
Right? This is actually still really a pizza. Not whatever they make down there. I mean, they don't even put ketchup on hot dogs. Forget about Chicago. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all.
So I'm guessing this is probably not intended for the calorie conscious. That would be just my wild guess.
I mean, if you're counting calories,
probably not the Detroit.
Yeah. However, I will say, and like I've said before, like it's quality ingredients.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're looking for like healthy natural foods, well then you can find it in the Detroit. I mean you could go eat a 100-calorie like chocolate bar that's full of high fructose corn syrup and sugar and whatnot. So I mean, if you are going to have a day where you're like maybe splurging a little, or you're had a few too many drinks the night before, or what, you know, you're just on the gross grind or something, then you're YOLOing it, then do it.
So we should mention, though, one final thing is that, you know, because of the world we live in today, you can't just drive to or walk to a restaurant and assume you're going to get in, because again, everybody's got a capacity cap and things like that. So I can tell you from experience, I've been here a few times since you have reopened for dine-in, and yet you do have some plexiglass up.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just always call ahead or use the app or text or whatever. just don't presume, but basically business is pretty much back to some kind of normal, huh?
Yeah, definitely a sense of normalcy in-house, which is great. Definitely reservations are sort of encouraged, but you know, I will say, given if you have never been to AJ's before, we are a smaller space, so even pre-COVID, it was the same issue. Yeah. You could walk up and it's like, sorry, we've got a wait list going. So, I mean, to have that going again, it's kind of same otherwise. But yeah, definitely call ahead, or if you want to dine in-house, or just pick up, because we have one little oven.
Yes. That's going to change. I'm hoping.
It's going to change.
And by the way, there actually is an AJ, and he's a trip. So if you ever do get a chance, pop in. If AJ's around, you'll enjoy it.
Just talking baseball.
Oh, he loves talking baseball, yes. But it's the Yankees, but whatever.
Yeah, you know, I cheer for an AL East team, so I can talk Yankees all day long.
Jess Price is the operations manager of AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, cheers.
Okay, Daryl, so that is a wrap for the RTD show for July.
What a show.
A great show. And, of course, we finally got to sample the legendary White Claw.
What'd you think?
It's good. It's really good.
You see why
it wins. Oh, 100%. I did not know the story of the wave being yours.
I only learned that last week. Okay. And I was like, wait a sec, that makes perfect sense.
And do you currently have White Claw in the store?
We do. We currently have mixed bags. We just got in a little bit of natural lime, so that's going to be sold out by probably Monday. And mango and black cherry, so almost there. No grapefruit, but we're getting close.
Okay, and we talked Squish, which is a brand new product from East Van. Squish is in the 8-packs.
There's 8-pack, and then there's all the individual Tall Boys. Fantastic vodka soda.
Absolutely. And also, our congratulations to Maud Beverage Company, Mighty, with two flavors, coconut water and pineapple water. Brand new company on the market, with some really exciting things.
Really cool stuff. And don't forget the mighty Madison Hall joining us.
Yes.
On the show.
Maddie, thank you for joining us. Did you have fun?
Yes. Thank you very much for hosting me on the first time.
Okay. And again, you do the events and promotions for Legacy Liquor Store, and of which there probably aren't a lot of events and promotions right now, but they will be coming back slowly but surely.
They are. We are looking into alternative spaces so that people can more mingle, whereas before we had sit down. And people can evenly space and not be worried and concerned, but still enjoy the spirits or the liquor, whatever they're coming to sample.
And as I always like to remind you, if you know nothing about the spirit world or the RTD world or the beverage world in general, don't ever hesitate to walk into Daryl Lamb at Legacy. Mm-hmm. He'll talk your ear off, but you know what? You know what you're talking about, my friend. You're the best ambassador a store could have.
You're going to go home with a beautiful home bar that you didn't even know you needed. It's going
to
be great.
That's a wrap, though. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you again in August. Cheers, Daryl.
Cheers.
Cider, sodas, and cocktails. The RTD Show. And you've got it on Sportsnet 650.